recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, gents. How you guys doing?
Doing awesome.
Super.
A lot of stuff going on around here right now. Got NHL trading deadline, free agency, a lot of stuff.
I heard it's the gentle rant with Joe Rexroad now.
Yeah. Doesn't have you the like same that? Pop to it.
I love it. I love that you're getting told to tone down. I'm sorry I deleted that account I made so quickly.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense, actually.
We're going to talk about how the Jordan Schultz picture made it out last week. We didn't do it, Charles, but I saw the picture circulating around out there.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, all right. I mean, we could go ahead and reveal that I had that picture, but I was not the one who put it out there.
You were not. So
I was not. And after I got out, I went immediately. You know, I kind of got questioned a little bit, and then by the person who took the picture, and eventually found out that they had sent it to like 750 people.
There you go.
So did they go around asking all those people, are you the one? It's like, dude, if you're going to send it to everybody, what do you think is going to happen? Typical media people, man.
Yeah, great moments in time. Gotta love it.
Good stuff. So on the Sam Darnold front, Minnesota has not tagged him. And apparently they're still working on a short-term deal, but we'll see. Paul Kuharsky was with us yesterday, and he said he does not expect the Titans to pursue Sam Darnold as it relates to going after a long-term deal with him. So what's the latest on Sam Darnold, and how do you expect this to play out when free agency opens up?
So I've talked to a number of people across the league, as well as agents who have skin in the game at the quarterback position, just trying to figure out how the slotting is going to go. And you know, Darnold's really the prominent conversation right now. And I'm just telling you, the feel is that his market is going to be softer than anybody thought. And the idea of him returning to Minnesota, I mean, that might be the odds-on favorite right now for him to get a short-term deal done with the Vikings. Now, you got to take this at least slightly with a grain of salt, because what changes in the matrix when they don't tag him is you potentially have a team out there that's sitting there and was like, you know, maybe we'd be interested, but, you know, he's not available. If he's available, then let's kick around the conversation in our building. So it's like, is there this mystery team out there that could potentially open up for him? And so I kind of asked around, like, okay, other than the suitors that are obvious, who could this mystery team be? And I actually had a couple people who said, hey, I don't be surprised the Raiders pursue a trade for Geno Smith if they can't get – if they can't get one of the options they really want at quarterback. Pete loves Geno, like total, you know, culture type guy. Feels like Geno's still got a couple, you know, good years left in him. And, you know, don't be surprised if that is something that the Raiders potentially pursue. Well, then what happens in Seattle at the quarterback spot? Is that all of a sudden the mystery spot that opens up and maybe provides an opportunity for Sam Darnold to sign, you know, the kind of market deal that we thought he could potentially get? But if that doesn't happen, I'm just telling you, everybody seems to believe that it's going to be a soft pursuit for him. That there's not going to be this, $40 million a year deal with, $120 million, guaranteed, or, $100 million guaranteed. Like a lot of people think it's going to come down to maybe his number is more in the range of like 30. And there are a couple of teams that are willing to do that, but really the deals they're offering are structurally just two-year deals. And at that point, Sam Darnold has to sit there and go, okay, well, I might be able to go back to Minnesota for 30. For even if it's for a year, it's a better option than maybe, going to a bad team that does not have the firepower, does not have Kevin O'Connell, does not have the familiarity of, if it's a different offensive scheme. There's just a multitude of different things that could push him back to Minnesota, and a lot of people seem to think that's ultimately what's going to end up happening. Now, again, it's speculation right now because the Giants are desperate. Like, the Giants are like, they have to figure out a way to get a quarterback in the building that wins games in 2025. That's why they made the big push for Stafford, because they're sitting there going, we're going to get fired. And so my thought process on this is, if the Giants are sitting there saying there's no way we can get up to one and get Cam Ward, and we can have the whole Cam Ward Shador conversation, I still won't put it out of the realm of possibility that they could be left with so few options that they're sitting there going, you know what, let's just offer him, the $40 million a year deal. We'll do the guarantees that are a little more robust than 2 years. Maybe guarantee some of the salary the third year. And, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't matter anyway, because we're not going to be here. And we're not really going to worry about the money because we're not going to be here. Like, that's what I wonder is if, Darnold does have kind of a soft market, but there's a team that doesn't really have any other options and gets desperate, then it's a little bit of a different situation. I don't think Paul Kaharsky's wrong. I think PK's right. I do think that, it depends, like, where the number is. If all of a sudden, Darnold's number is much softer than people thought, then maybe there's, a conversation where they entertain potentially assigning him. But I think Fitz bad. He really cannot play behind an offensive line right now that is not stacked right now. You're asking for a world of problems putting Sam Darnold behind an offensive line that's in flux and that you don't know, that we all thought was going to be much better in 2024, and it wasn't. And we expect and hope, right, it'll be better in 2025, but who knows? And you want to see the Jets Sam Darnold? Go back and watch the Rams game, in the playoffs. Like, he Detroit, we've talked about this before, he just missed things, and this is an assessment inside the Vikings building. He just missed opportunities, but the Rams game, he panicked, and it was because he was getting hit, and the Rams were just, pile driving him. If he goes to a team where that's the situation, he's going to be a bad signing. It's going to be a nightmare. So I think that's also, you really have to consider fit as well for him, and I think he knows he has to consider fit as well, and that's why I think both the Vikings and Darnold are leaving that door open. They just didn't want to pay him $40 million. They didn't want to lock up, on the tag, they didn't want to lock up $40 million in one season. There's a way to, bring him back economically and maybe even give themselves an option of a second year to bring him back as well. And I think J.J. McCarthy is a little bit of a wild card right now. He lost a lot of weight after the first surgery and then the cleanup. So it's like, and I've heard he's, put the weight back on, but he functionally just lost a lot of time and the snaps, the time, the practice time. It's a lot more uncertain, I think, with J.J. McCarthy right now than maybe the Vikings were hoping for.
Yeah, I just think much more of Sam Darnold than the rest of the league does. I mean, I'd love to know if he was just okay in those two games. Like they lose them both, but he's not bad. The other film on him from last year, there's a lot of good stuff.
There is a lot of good stuff. There is. But, remember, again, you are asking yourself, I'm here. I heard that, and again, take this with a grain of salt. I don't know how true this is because I don't have the headset on, right? But I heard that, like, you know, part of the reason why you're getting Darnold to the line of scrimmage quickly, like you're working to try and get him the line of scrimmage quickly, is kind of what, like, McVay does in Los Angeles, where he's, like, diagnosing what the defense is doing and yelling it into the headset before the headset goes dead. So basically, like, you got the coach reading the defense and trying to tell you before, you know, who, or a coordinator, whoever's the one that's in the mic in the headset, which is, you know, that's interesting. And again, I think Darnold showed he can be a high-level quarterback, but there has to be a lot of perfection around him. I'm not saying the Vikings' offensive line is perfect. It wasn't. They had their lumps last year, lost your left tackle. But again, those last two games were just – that sticks in the minds of evaluators, because by far the totality of Sam Darnold's film looks more like those last two games, where he's either, you know, not making the reads that he needs to make, or he's shorting things, or his accuracy's not where it needs to be, or the second game against that's the Detroit game, the second game against the Rams, he's running around and, you know, driving himself into pressure, drifting into pressure, running away from things that aren't happening. It's just so much of that, I think, evoked a very strong response amongst people who are sitting there going, okay, you know, still an option, but let's make sure we protect ourselves and not, you know, run out there with the Baker Mayfield plus deal that I think a lot of people thought he was going to get.
So on the Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward front, obviously there's a lot of talk this week about Sanders and the combine and potentially not helping himself at the combine. Where do you think things stand on that with Shedeur? And when it comes to Cam Ward, how much interest do you think is going to be there to trade with the Titans for that number one overall pick?
So I think Shedeur is going to be the story of the draft. I really, truly do. I think that we're going to have these arguments about Shedeur, and there are things that are going to come out as we go on. You know, people being rubbed the wrong way about how he interviewed. Is he arrogant? You know, how many times is he going to invoke the Sanders name and being Deion's son? And, like, I was raised in this, like, you know, I was raised to be this guy. You know, I even had, during the combine, I had a GM. I didn't actually see it, but apparently there was, like, a moment where some broadcast, they asked Shedeur to describe his five most iconic moments, like, in college or whatever. And, like, and I guess one of them was he's, like, describing, like, the watch moment, like, the watch taunt or whatever. And, you know, this guy's just like, come on. Like, is anybody trying to work with him to try and, you know, pull this back a little bit? But to me, these are garden variety gripes, realistically. Like, it's – people are always annoyed by, you know – I had a guy complain about Kayvon Thibodeau walking out of a meeting and grabbing a bag of chips off the table.
Another chip grabber. This chip grabbing is an epidemic. It really is.
Yeah. And, like, so you're like, does this really matter when push comes to shove? No, it doesn't. But I think what's more important is I definitely feel, and I'm not a quarterback evaluator, but when I talk to the people who I trust across the league who evaluate quarterbacks, they're like, look, they're two different shelves. Those guys are not – like, the evaluation with Cam is much better, particularly when you're considering the upside and where he can go versus where Shedeur is at. You know, Shedeur's, I think teams consider him a lesser athlete than Cam. I think they have some questions about, you know, times where they felt like, is he not throwing the ball away because he's maintaining a high completion percentage? Why is he eating some of these sacks? You know, his arm isn't as good as Cam's arm. And then the thing that I think is really overriding about Cam, and I think this is fascinating, particularly if, let's say, you're the Titans and you have Mike Borgonzi, who sat there and watched Patrick Mahomes for years. Everyone in the AFC is hyper aware, especially when they don't have quarterbacks. They're hyper aware of, like, we're in the Everest conference. Like the quarterbacks that we have to, you know, determine a solution for are insane. You know, I mean, all the best, like, all these great Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, you know,
Josh
Herbert.
Allen.
And it's like, so when you're going out and you're looking at a quarterback, you definitely in your mind, you're thinking, either they are the perfect scheme fit for us and we can take them places that other people can't. That's Bo Nix. That's how Sean Payton looked at it. He's like, hey, he's perfect for me. That's what I need. I can compete with this guy. Or you're looking at him and you're saying the upside is uncapped. Like he's like the upside is so tremendous that that's the swing you take because you know we're going to run into Mahomes in the playoffs. We're going to run into Lamar Jackson in the playoffs. We're going to run into Justin Herbert in the playoffs. We're going to like all these other quarterbacks we're going to run into in the playoffs. And we have to be prepared to, you know, compete with those guys. You don't take the one where you feel like the upside is sort of more capped. And I think that is part of the assessment with Cam that is going to be fascinating to see where he ends up going in the draft because of the fact that there's a feeling that his upside is much more capped than where Cam Ward's is.
So just to follow up real quick then on Shedeur, Charles, do you feel, because I've seen some people say this week, you know, gosh, he might really fall. Do you feel like he's the quarterback who plummets this year? And if so, how far?
This is what I think makes him the story of the draft, because I think he is a good scheme fit for the Cleveland Browns. So there, some people are like, you know, I can't, especially after coming out of the combine, some people are like, I can't believe people are still looking at like Cam Ward and Shedeur 1-2 in the draft, you know, in whatever scenario that is, say it's the Giants trading up to 1 or whatever. But like Cam going off 1 and Shedeur going off 2, I can't discount that that could happen because I've talked to people at the Browns. They're not as worried about Deion, you know, this idea that if something goes sideways, you know, you're going to have the megaphone of Deion, you know, calling out your head coach or your coordinators or your players or whatever. I don't think they're concerned with that. They, at least that's what I was, I had that whole conversation with someone in the organization. I definitely walked away thinking, okay, they're not worried about the Deion thing. I do think he's a good fit for Kevin Stefanski's offense. I think he's built to play in that kind of weather. He's also tough, you know, can take hits. Like, it's so he can play in the AFC North. So I think the fit there, that's kind of where you come down to like with Bo Nix when everyone's like, well, geez, Bo Nix is going to slide. And like, he's not even a first round pick. You heard that last year leading into the draft. Teams are like, he's not a first round pick.
I thought he was a fourth round pick. My God.
Okay. But he's a first round pick with Sean. That's the thing. That's the thing. Right. When you have a coach who sits there and says, you're perfect for me. And that coach is right. Like, you know, Sean has that element of confidence and arrogance where he's like, that's my guy. I don't care what anybody else, throws up middle fingers to the rest of the league and says, if it works for me, I'm good. And then we saw the results of that. And so I think if you have Kevin Stefanski sitting there looking at Shedeur and saying, yeah, he fits exactly what we want to do. He's going to run a real efficient offense here. He's going to have a high percentage, completion percentage, all these different things, then you can see him going at 2. Could he slide? Yes. And again, this is why I say he's the story of the draft, because I do think that a lot of teams do not view him as being anywhere near worthy. Like I had one GM who was like, look, you know, he's not telling me his stack. They don't need a quarterback anyway, but he's like, I'm telling you right now, you know, when you start to do the shelves and you're really looking at guys, he said the distance between like, let's say the assessment on Cam and Shedeur is much wider than the distance between my assessment on Shedeur and like Jackson Dart or the Louisville kid. And so it's like, okay. I mean, it just feels like there's clearly a separation here. And that's what I think could end up leading to him, maybe trickling down the board or going off at 2. And that mystery to me is what's going to be really what drives this into it's in some ways it's similar to Levis. You know, you kind of went into that draft and you're like, man, there's still some people who think that the Colts are taking him, you know, and then he ends up being a second round pick. So it's going to be a really, really interesting run up to this whole deal.
Charles, do you think Aaron Rodgers has a landing spot as a starting quarterback in this league in free agency this year?
I do. I think like the Giants, the interesting thing about the Giants is that desperation is so real. I've heard Russell Wilson is on their list of options. I've heard Aaron Rodgers is on their list of options. And it's just sort of like, when do they run out of, you know, options? But I think another thing that's interesting is, like, Pittsburgh, Omar Khan, the GM there, I think Pittsburgh, they really want to get something done with Justin Fields. That's like a moderate short-term deal to give him a more realistic run at potentially being their starting quarterback. That might not get done, though, because, you know, Fields is sitting there saying, I want a clear path to starting. Like, I don't want to be here and go through what I went through last year, which was Mike Tomlin deciding Russ is my guy and stubbornly sticking to that, even though Arthur Smith, I think during the course of the season, there were times where Arthur Smith was really struggling to, you know, like, I don't think there was that connection was as great as it looked on the surface all the time. So if Justin Fields doesn't work out for Pittsburgh, then you're like, all right, what are you doing? Because I don't think Russ is going to be back there. So now you don't have Justin Fields, you don't have Russ, but you do have Mike Tomlin, and Rodgers and Tomlin have a very, very strong affinity for each other. They like each other a lot. And so then I think, does he all of a sudden become an option in Pittsburgh? So much of this is predicated on, like, whether some of these deals get done, like, with the quarterbacks where they currently could go back. Fields, Darnold goes back to Minnesota. It all started with Stafford sticking with the Rams. Like, that's sort of, you sit there and you look at the pegging order and you're like, this guy's got to get done. That was Stafford. He got done. Okay. Now we move on to Darnold. What hole does Darnold fill? And then what does that open up elsewhere in terms of options? So yeah, I think Rodgers he's going to have some interest. And if you look at the quarterback needy teams, someone made this point to me yesterday, you know, the strength is definitely in the hands of the quarterbacks right now, because there's just not enough of them to go around. When you actually look at the quarterback needy teams, there are fewer really solid options to fill these spots than you think. But the thing for these quarterbacks, none of these landing spots look great. There's just a lot of bad teams.
All right, last thing, Charles, DK Metcalf. Well, you just mentioned Pete Carroll trading for Geno Smith, you know, Pete Carroll trade for the combo.
Yeah.
Just bring him to Vegas. Is this happening?
Yeah. Well, I think I would say you should put the Raiders squarely in the DK Metcalf sweepstakes. The two factors here are you going to be willing to give up the draft compensation, which I saw Diana reported the first and the third. That's what they're going to be asking for. Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's the price tag. I don't know that they'll get that.
That's high.
That is high. Yeah. I could see it potentially being something like, okay, when you add up the pieces and the parts, it comes out to what you would consider first round compensation. So maybe a team says, okay, we have like a second and a player, or a second and a combination of other picks that really is first round value. First off, I think a lot of people are going to be in this. Okay. I think DK's got a very strong trade market out there. There are going to be a multitude of teams that have the money. Like, the Chargers are definitely looking to add to, you know, their receiving options for Justin Herbert. They have a ton of money. The Raiders have a ton of money. I think Pete absolutely be interested. You know, the Patriots are going to be huge spenders, have the most money, most cap space available. And I think DK is young enough that even though they're not in a Super Bowl window, they would be okay saying, okay, if we can get him at the right draft compensation, we'll trade for him and give Drake May a great piece to help him develop over the next 3 years. Because I kind of think that's the way people are going to approach it with DK. He's going to sign he wants a $30 million plus average. I would say look at the Brandon Ayuk deal, build off that. So, you know, 4 years, you know, $31 million a year, and then be okay offering like guarantees into the third year because he's young enough that you can do that. That's going to give him a very robust market. Another team I can't count out, Pittsburgh is trying to get a wide receiver forever. And they had both draft compensation and a contract ready to go for Brandon Ayuk. And Brandon Ayuk was like, nah, I'm going to go back to San Francisco. And Ayuk was seeking the deal that he got in San Francisco. So again, I would put Pittsburgh, you know, squarely in that. But the problem with Pittsburgh is, who's your quarterback? Like, you got to figure out who your quarterback is before you put yourself really in those sweepstakes. But yeah, he's going to have his market is going to bang. And they might get more than I think in terms of the draft compensation. I doubt it's a first and a third, but I mean, just the multitude of teams that are going to be in on this. I think I would say New England's strong. I think the Broncos probably poke around at it. Obviously, the Packers are out there. They definitely, I think, are interested in finding number one.
He's going to look great running, in Green Bay.
Their running back is apparently the GM. that's what they need. You know, the Steelers, the Raiders, it's no shortage of teams that I think could come to the table. And I would also keep an eye on those teams that have a first-round pick, but it's like, you know, the bottom three or four picks in the first round. I'd look at those teams too and not necessarily toss them out.
God, don't tell me he's going to end up in Philadelphia. We can't handle that.
I want to say no, but like, you know, how he's like, hey, Saquon, he's an extension. Zach Bond, we're going to keep you. Like, I'm like, I'm just like, dude, what? Like, I thought for sure. I'm like, yeah, they're going to pay the price. They're going to lose all these defensive players. They're going to lose Bond. You know, they got a multitude of other guys that are coveted. And that, how he's still, I don't know what's going on there, man. That's like the biggest, like, we're going to find out one day that, you know, how he's going to retire and the Ponzi scheme is going to end and there's going to be a bill for like $3 billion. He's charging all this on the black Amex.
Yeah. Charles, really good stuff, man. Excited to get into free agency with you next week. Hope you have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Yep. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest on Robbie and Rex. We'll react to what Charles had to say. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 93.3 FM, Totally Hits Nashville tonight for MTSU men's basketball. Blue Raiders taking on Liberty at the Murphy Center. Tip-off at 6:30, pregame at 6 o'clock. Huge game. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Appreciate Charles Robinson for being with us in the last segment. Joe, what did you make of Charles's breakdown there of, we'll start with Sam Darnold, and maybe the insinuation that the market for him may not be as robust as some thought heading into free agency?
Yeah. I mean, look, it matches up with PK's reporting, and by the way, he said he believes it, and it sounds like the Titans are, like a lot of teams, skeptical of Sam Darnold, right? Like, that's – and look, that does align with the Vikings not tagging him. It's the Vikings, because I was like, I really thought that there'd be somebody who would look at what he did and say, yeah, let's again not break the bank, but we can review the 50 million plus quarterbacks if you like in this league. But the Vikings are like, no, we're not paying 40 for him. No thanks.
Yeah,
maybe they'll get him back at 32. I don't know. I like Sam Darnold better than the NFL, and I stand with Jared and Gentry.
How's that feel?
This feels great. The Jared Gen Joe. Sam Darnold boohoo crew.
Apparently so. I'm interested to see how that plays out. Again, you know, he did bring up the Giants in terms of they're clearly desperate at quarterback. So whether it's Darnold, Wilson, Rodgers, Cam Ward, whoever, like, what do the Giants do to try to pull off an answer at quarterback there? Going to be interesting to see. You know, he said Shedeur Sanders is going to be the story of the draft here. Said he's a good fit with Cleveland at number two. And if he doesn't go to Cleveland at number two, it could be very interesting to see where Sanders ends up after that.
Interesting, too. Let's say the Titans make the trade with the Giants. And yep, they go to three. And that's the key. Obviously, the Giants take Cam Ward. And let's say then the Titans could be sitting there at three with either of these guys, Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter. Again, I'm still – not because of the foot. I'm going with Travis Hunter, and I'm thrilled to get him at three, if that's the case. But it would be interesting if they actually – I figured that there's a better chance that they would have one of the two to choose from. But if that scenario plays out and Stefanski loves Shedeur Sanders, then there you go. And it's also interesting what he said about them not caring about the Deion bash. Because, again, the Deion Sanders thing hurts Shedeur Sanders. But it also sounds like, again, like – I had not heard that one that he just told us, which is the tell us about your great moments. And he's talking about like taunting the dude with the wallet. Yeah. Like, really? I mean, look, these are young people, so you expect some level of immaturity, but also there are some things like, yeah, that's not, you know, like what is a team going to think about that?
Right. Albert Breer, and this is not necessarily new because this was in his article the other day, but Abdul Carter is in Nashville today. They're kicking off their top 30 visits. Abdul Carter is in Nashville today with the Titans. Cam Ward in Cleveland for his visit with the Browns today.
Okay.
So there you go. I believe Ward is here tomorrow, if the calendar I remember is correct. And then Sanders is here on Sunday. Travis Hunter to come later.
Yeah. Okay. So. Well, it's good. Again, I think they're doing it the right way. I think they're doing the things in the correct order. We got a texter who asks, will Tannehill play again?
I don't think so.
My guess would be no. I still, he obviously has not announced a retirement. And if I'm him, you stay in shape. You do some deep sea fishing, and you maybe there is that special scenario where a true contender loses its starting quarterback and everything else is in place so they could still make a run, and he comes off the couch for that. But I if I had to guess right now, I would guess he won't take another snap in the league. And please, if you're asking because you think the Titans might, like, they will never, ever, ever happen again. Tannehill will never play for the Tennessee Titans ever again. They won't ask. He won't come.
Well, just in general, I mean, it's been over a year at this point. Like, I think even if the scenario pops up that you just described, where a contender at quarterback goes down, I don't think they're giving him a call. Like, I think the ship has sailed at this
point.
That
could be. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. I think last year
they might have, but I mean,
it's been a while.
At some point, you've not played football in a very long time.
Like, yeah.
You could bring him in for a workout, I guess, but I don't know.
I do think that the Flacco thing was one of those, because I think he's definitely better than Flacco, or at least, you know, recent version of Tannehill is, and Flacco worked out pretty well there. But, yeah, you may be right.
We'll see on that front. DK Metcalf, apparently the market's going to be very strong for him, so we'll see what the return ends up being, who gets him. But a lot of people interested in DK Metcalf out there.
Geno and DK together playing for Pete Carroll in Vegas with Brock Bowers.
Yeah, would that be the move for Vegas at quarterback? I mean, it's better than what they've had there, for sure.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
Yeah.
Especially because they obviously have that history. I think it'd be okay.
Just a nice Seahawks reunion out there with the Raiders.
The old AFC West.
Yeah.
Back in the Dave Craig, Steve Largent days.
We'll see what happens on the Metcalf front. But like I said to start the show, like 27-year-old in the prime wide receivers – don't become available all that much. So we'll see what that looks like and what the trade market is.
And real quick, really, I did not know. Maybe I just forgot, but the whole Tomlin Rodgers thing?
Yeah, Rodgers has talked about him a lot before in terms of, like, they really get along, apparently, and like each other. So I don't know if that means that he's going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers starting quarterback, but I did know that they have a great affinity for each other.
And go to fish concerts together?
Yeah, maybe so.
That'd be wild.
What's the
Rodgers with the Steelers?
What's the cave system like in Pittsburgh? Got some mountains over there.
A lot of coal mines.
Yeah.
I don't know if that really counts, but.
God, man, where's Aaron? He's not at practice today.
Some real darkness.
He's in the coal mine over there. What's going on? Aaron! Mike Tomlin with the miner hat going. Aaron! We need you to come practice. Get out of there.
Now I'm thinking of the movie Zoolander for some reason.
We'll take your thoughts on what Charles Robinson had to say. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Rex Road, we'll see you in the morning.
Got a little emergency. Thanks. See ya.
Good morning. Your thoughts on what Charles Robinson had to say on Darnold. Your thoughts on the Ward-Sanders debate. And how far could Shedeur Sanders end up sliding in the draft? That one's going to be interesting to watch, too. All that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today for Vanderbilt women's basketball as the number 8-seeded Commodores take on number 9-seed Tennessee in the SEC women's basketball tournament. Tip off at 10 o'clock this morning, pregame beginning at 9:45. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Robbie and Rex Road here with you. It is time for Preds Pick to Click. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Predators tonight against the Seattle Kraken, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. Couple thoughts to get to real quick on what Charles Robinson had to say there. He does not expect the market for Darnold to be as robust as maybe previously thought. So what does that do for the interest level in him? And if it gets down low enough, does that change how the Titans view it? I mean, if you're not committing 3 or 4 years, if you're not paying over $40 million a year, does that change the way the Titans view him at quarterback? And really the question that we began the show with that I think is important to ask in all this. If they're not interested in Darnold, you look at the rest of the quarterback options with the veteran QBs and none of them really excite you, is the answer just as simple as Cam Ward? Cam Ward's on his visit with Cleveland today. He's going to visit with the Titans later this week. Depending on how that goes, like, do the Titans walk out of this, they're meeting with Cam Ward, everything they've learned about him throughout the draft process, and do they get to the end of this with free agency starting next week and they say, all right, Cam Ward is our plan at quarterback at number one overall? Or do they look at it and say, we feel good about Cam Ward and we feel better about the idea of being able to trade that pick for somebody to love Cam Ward and we'll go address quarterback somewhere else for a year? I don't know. Like, PK threw the idea out there yesterday of a stopgap QB. There's not very many options there that get me overly excited. I don't think there's very many options there that get Titans fans themselves overly excited. So we'll see what happens on the Darnold front there. Sanders is going to be really interesting here. How do teams view him? We brought up the Brugler mock draft the other day. He had him falling all the way to 21 to Pittsburgh. So is that going to be the way it shakes out? Charles talked about Sanders potentially being a good fit in Cleveland with the scheme that they run. So I guess there's a chance. I mean, it could go Cam Ward at one, either with the Titans or the Giants moving up or somebody else. Sanders at two to Cleveland. But if it doesn't, like, where does Sanders end up after that? It's going to be very interesting to see on that. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, get into Pred's pick to click here. Standings update in the competition, by the way. Rexrow continuing to just rack up points. 13 correct answers. He's in first place. Listeners have moved to 9. I am at 7. Keezer at 4 correct answers in the competition. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Randy to the program. Randy, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Delgado.
There you go, Randy. I like it. Going Mark Delgado. How about it? I mean, Keezer, that's got to be the first time he's ever been selected in the competition.
I never picked him last year. Yeah, that's certainly the first time.
He's going first.
Hey, why not? He's filling in for Roman Yossi. He was on the call, and he's like, hey, who got called up after Roman Yossi got hurt? And I told him, and that's, I was like, are you sure? He's like, yeah.
I like it. And if he scores tonight, Randy.
By golly.
Soothsayer. I like it. All right, Keezer, you're up. Delgado's off the board.
Yes, he is. I'm going to go with Ryan O'Reilly this evening.
All right. Ryan O'Reilly scored twice last time out. Joe Rexler is not here to make his pick.
Our intern did pick Brady Shea, if you do want to run with that.
Sure, that'll make Rexler nice and upset. We'll do that.
Yeah.
So Brady Shea, the selection for Rexler. And I will go, you know what? He played great last game. I like that line together. Give me Stamkos. I'll go Steven Stamkos to put another one in the net tonight. Delgado, O'Reilly, Shea, and Stamkos. It is without question the first time we've had those four as a combination there. So the NHL trade deadline stuff, Predators make the move last night, sending Novak and Shen to Pittsburgh. We talked about that earlier in the show. If you missed that conversation, get it on Robbie and Rexo, wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify. Pierre LeBrun putting it out there that Mikko Rantanen has informed Carolina that he is not ready to make a decision on where things stand with their contract offer. So he's not going to make it before the deadline, and now Carolina has to weigh the possibility of, are they going to send him elsewhere? Are they going to make a trade, or are they going to keep him and potentially risk losing him for nothing after this season and after they make their playoff push? So we'll see what happens on the rant in front. That's the big fish still out there and still potentially to come at the NHL trading deadline. Preds have already been busy. Is anything more coming? Novak is gone. Luke Shen is gone. Gus Nyquist is gone. Does somebody offer you something you can't turn down for Ryan O'Reilly? Is Michael McCarron a part of the plans? It's going to be interesting to see how the deadline shakes out here. But we're one day away from the NHL trading deadline. See what Barry Trotz has up his sleeve. And look, you know, everybody's focusing in on selling, and I get it. Barry Trotz did say earlier this year that regardless of where they are in the standings, if he feels like he can go acquire someone that helps them beyond this year, that he would not hesitate to do it. So does that person exist? And is Barry Trotz looking for that? Somebody with some term on their contract that he feels like could be a part of the solution next season. He can never discount the possibility of that happening this time of year. So we'll see what happens on the NHL trading deadline front. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Seattle Kraken at Bridgestone Arena. And then tomorrow, it's deadline day. You got Abdul Carter in town for a visit today for the Titans. And next week, it's NFL free agency. So we're right around the corner for things happening here as we head into the NFL offseason. That does it for us today here on the program. Chasing Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.